Welcome to the 124th edition of the Gooner Podcast. This is your host, David Udo, and we're recording on the Monday evening after Arsenal's defeat at Manchester City, and in 1 week's time of this recording, we'll be facing Chelsea at home in the final game before Christmas Day. So, to introduce our panel, and starting with a regular voice. The podcast is evidently listened to by enough people for the great man to be recognised by Gooners simply by opening his mouth and expressing an opinion, be it waiting to get through a turnstile at the Grove or in some eatery in NW3. He recently released a coffee table book entitled Hampstead Faces Volume 1, including a couple of Arsenal players amidst the celebs and characters. So without further ado, good evening to Don Sebastiano, aka Emmanuel Mustafa Goldstein.
Good evening, and stop following me about, please.
I'm in that tree for 2 hours and you don't notice. Next up, the publisher of the Gooner and the editor from its first issue in 1987 until the end of the 1999-2000 season. Nowadays, he largely restricts his Gooner output to maintaining our Twitter account and the occasional appearance on the podcast. He's rushed here from a work meeting to be on the panel tonight, too late for the Chinese takeaway he so generously funds. Whether or not his stomach will be the only thing grumbling tonight, we wait to see. But in the meantime, it's a warm welcome to Mr. Mike Francis.
Good evening.
And last, but by no means least, he made his debut on the panel back in September and proved very popular with the listeners, so it's a delight to have him back. By profession, a photographer for his own offside photo agency, he loves nothing more than talking Arsenal, so he's a man in his medium. Last time he was on, he ended up going to the pub with the Highbury spy to continue the conversation. Recordings of that have yet to surface, but we await them with interest. He's been behind the goal line taking the pictures at Arsenal matches for 40 years now, and it's a pleasure to welcome Mr. Mark Leach.
Very good evening to you.
So, gents, 7 days which saw a home draw with Everton, defeats at Napoli and Manchester City. Mike, have the rails come off Arsenal season, or is this just a blip?
I think it's just a blip, personally. I think we've had a... It was a tough week, you know. It was always going to be a tough week. We knew that. Drawing at home to Everton's probably the most disappointing of those, because you kind of felt that you got to win your home games. But Everton were probably the best side to visit this season, with maybe the, or certainly in the Premier League. And you know, we're well worth a draw. Napoli was... The problem with going to Napoli was always going to be we can afford a 3-0 defeat, or as long as we avoid a 3-0 defeat. So we were kind of beaten before we went, really, which is unfortunate. Man City, I think we all saw that one coming, or at least the potential. 6-3, yeah, it sounds awful, but maybe not as bad as it sounded.
Basti, bearing in mind, Liverpool are only, 2 points behind us. If they win on Saturday, they're top ahead of us. Before the Chelsea game, are we going to crumble, or is the fact that they've got to play Man City and Chelsea, you know, over Christmas and before New Year, that's going to bring them back down? This is just a blip. It's all okay. Don't worry about it. Or have 5 games in 15 days essentially killed us?
Well, you know, after what they did to Spurs, I'm a sort of bit of a closet case Liverpool fan at the moment, really. I quite enjoyed it after this weekend. To sit back and watch that happen at White Hart Lane was just lovely. I really needed a bit of something to smile about and just have a good old chortle about. But I'm not really that worried like Mike. I don't think I think this is a blip, and I think I was upset against Napoli because they were very doable that day, and I was a little upset with Wenger's choice of team. I thought, and play, we discussed it on this podcast before, Arteta and Flamini together doesn't always seem to work. And why, you know, really, why couldn't he have started with Walcott, Wilshere and Ramsey, got a goal and then rested them, you know, rather than sort of bring on Ramsey when it's all, you know, and those last 30 seconds you thought, surely not the unthinkable, you know, when that ball looped in. I was disappointed because I thought, really, and now we've got, you know, I'm sure it'll be a question later, but now we've got Bayern, which we really did not want. Unnecessary as well. So it stupid things like that, and needless, everything from results like that to the needless kind of giving away of the ball by various Arsenal players in the last couple of games. We need to tighten up and kick some arse, basically. But I'm not worried about Liverpool, actually. I think City are the the main threat. And of course, Chelsea, you know, it's a big game next Monday.
On the subject of that big game, Mark, we're playing Chelsea, who are managed by Jose Mourinho, who Wenger's never beaten in his career. After the last three games we've had, and we've got that coming up, we're fucked, aren't we?
Certainly not. No, I was just thinking I'd review those other games as well and think nobody wants to come on here and say we were unlucky, but Everton had the ball. Sorry, going back to those other three games. Everton had the ball, loads of possession, but I don't remember too many saves from Szczęsny. The lad from Barcelona came on, scored a wonder goal. Can't really do much about that. Hit the bar of the last kick. And the thing about Napoli, it wasn't a great performance, but Dortmund were out. Mm. It was Arsenal and Napoli through, having a little love in them and knocking it around. The news comes through from the Dortmund goal, and they were mentally prepared to step up the gear. We didn't do it. So instead of having, say, Zenit, we've got Bayern, which, with the cup draw against Tottenham as well, it needs some work to be done to clear the players' minds. I thought the City game, he didn't use tiredness as an excuse, because City won in Munich with quite a few players rested. That's how scary their squad is. So, yeah, Chelsea is one really, really want to win, and I don't think the history will come into it. Got to beat him sometime, Monday night, best time.
That's a fair comment. I mean, thinking about that, those games we've had three very, very, very difficult games in 6 days, one of which was played in torrential rain and freezing cold south of Italy. They are athletes, but they're human beings. I mean, Mike, is fatigue an excuse for conceding 6 goals in Iceland? At that point, they're just absolutely knackered.
No, it's not. I mean, you know, we go back to the summer, don't we, and say, well, we didn't buy enough players to make the squad big enough. But we've still made changes, and you know, it wasn't exactly the same players playing. Mm-hmm. You know, Koscielny went off, Vermaelen came on. I don't think that necessarily weakened the defence at that point. But we made sloppy errors against City. I think that was the most frustrating thing, because we were in the game. We were definitely in the game at 2-1, at 3-1 and 3-2. For me, I put it on the Twitter account yesterday, was when we took Flamini off with about 20 minutes to go, and I just had horrible flashbacks to the Old Trafford game, where we took Coughlan off. And Coughlan that day was probably our best player. I know that sounds a bit bizarre to say, but he was winning a lot of tackles. And as soon as we lost our holding midfield man, they just overran us in midfield. And it was kind of similar at Man City. I think Yaya Toure suddenly went, I haven't got anyone within 20 yards of me, you know, and he just strode for him. We didn't get enough of the ball. We suddenly didn't have a ball winner. So the threat that we had going forward was still there, but we didn't have the ball to do anything with it anymore. I think that was the frustrating thing. And, you know, just a few soft goals could have been different.
Are we the only team to have scored 3 goals at the Etihad this season, though?
Yes, we are.
I mean, before
apart
the kick-off.
Apart from Bayern Munich.
Apart from Bayern Munich, but in the league, you'd have taken. Someone said to you, you're going to go and score 3 goals at the Etihad today. You'd say, oh, all right, OK.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, a draw. But, you know, I think the ref and linesmen weren't on our side. And, of course, match of the day weren't, as usual. But that was after the. But you know, strangely, I was semi-expecting defeat. I thought if you're going to lose, you're going to lose there. Obviously, if you look at their record at home, it's just silly. Mm. It's ridiculous. But they do slip. They slip up away, don't they? A little bit.
Well, Mark, as a bottom line, what actually went wrong at Easton's? Was it just a few mistakes? Were we actually knackered, contrary to what Mike said, or did we just lose to a team which is far better than us?
I think we were retired. But the strange quote for me was Wenger didn't use the tired, didn't come out with that as an excuse. Mm. What he did say was, I think we lost all our discipline and our defensive shape when I took Flamini off. That was a very strange thing to say.
Really,
it's not like when he got injured, got cramp or got sent off when I took him off.
So why did you fucking take him off?
So that was a very strange one to me, but I thought with Theo popping a couple in and, as you say, kept Zabaleta back when he went on that left side. Be great to get Podolski, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Walcott back and firing and keep getting a bit of fear in teams again. I think that's what we need. I think if everyone can put it behind them, yeah. I mean, obviously the events at White Hart Lane yesterday kind of... We'd rather... We're just here talking about Arsenal, but it kind of made the weekend... I'm in a kind of... dreamland thinking it wasn't such a bad weekend after all. But it seems a long time ago now, Saturday lunchtime, seeing what's happened since. But no, we got done. We got done up there, basically.
If anyone's wondering what time it is 5 past Tottenham. I think we've... Thank you very much. Thank you. I've been saving that for 8 minutes. Thank you. I'm never going to read this script again. Should it be worrying that our best player last year, Mike, was Santi Cazorla? He was fantastic. We're struggling. Flamini's coming off, turns around to the bench. We've got Cazorla, our best player. Rosicki, who's done this a million times before. I know I'm going to throw on Serge Gnabry. I don't know if this is a question from a Shakespearean play or a quote of Nietzsche, but what the fuck?
Was an unusual move, wasn't it? But actually, I thought it was probably the right one because I thought City were susceptible to pace. We'd seen it. Walcott had kind of got behind on that side of the pitch, and you know, we know Gnabry's quick, and we know he's probably quicker than Cazorla, and you know, so I thought it was a brave move. I wouldn't criticise Wenger for that. I think you know, sometimes he's been criticised for always doing the subs, waiting until the 70th minute and all that. And I think in the last few weeks, was it the Everton game where we made the triple substitution?
Yeah, it was.
You know, and it was like, well, you know, maybe he's changing his ways a little bit and being a little more flexible. And I thought that was maybe another good example of it.
It's a fair point.
We didn't get the ball to Gnabry to him to do it, which wasn't such a good thing.
He did assist with one goal.
That goes back to my Flamini point. We didn't have it.
He did assist with one goal, in fairness, Gnabry, unfortunately, at the wrong end. So anyway, look, we've covered the game itself. After the game and a few things that have sort of come out from it. Mr. Goldstein / Sebastiano / whatever you fancy at the moment.
Slash, actually.
That's right. Let's rock on, man. So a lot of talk over the weekend since the game finished. Jack Wilshere, the toys came out of the pram. The finger may or may not have gone up. The FA quite quiet at the moment, but let's face it, we're one midfielder short next Monday against Chelsea. Should Jack allow himself to get wound up by the crowd, or should he grow up a little bit?
Yeah, obviously he should grow up a bit. I mean, it's silly to stick your finger out. You know. I mean, for me personally, I don't think it's such a major offence, but that's because I'm a wild, wacky, rock and roll kind of guy. But the FA obviously don't see it that way. And you know, small children watch it and all that. So it's not a good look. It's not a good example for a professional footballer to act that way. And the fact is, I mean, actually, there were a few dummies spat out the pram. I mean, Mertesacker running up to Ozil and a public display of "you must behave yourself in front of the fans, go and hug them and all that." Leave that for the dressing room. We don't, you know, go and have a quiet word and say, look, next game, go and say hello to the fans. They've come all the way up here, right? We've lost, and they pay our wages, whatever he wants to tell him. But don't do it in front of the Match of the Day cameras of all fucking people, you know, because the last thing we need is all that lot who are already on our backs. And Wilshere, he had a bad game, I thought, and I thought he was chasing shadows. I thought he just wasn't really, he lost possession a lot, rather than just simple quick pass. I think he was struggling a bit because Monreal, I don't think, is quite as strong as Gibbs. Where was Gibbs? I've got no idea. But I did notice that Monreal had the ball, and had that had been Gibbs, that possession would have been given away, or would have been in another position, and it would have been a bit harder for City, who just saw the big gap on the right wing and said, we'll have that. So, and I think at least two of the goals, I just saw someone looking like Jack Wilshere sort of running like a, you know, very delayed, someone late for a train or something. But he tweeted straight after the game, "Don't worry, everyone, will bounce back." So Jack, the spirit of Jack, still going strong, and I think we will as well. We're a good football team.
Many thanks to Jack's agent for a nice tweet there, bless him. Mark, it was mentioned briefly by Basti just then with regards to Per Mertesacker having an absolute rollicking at Mesut Ozil on the pitch in front of the TV cameras. You've had that aspect of him, the fact that Ozil's getting some criticism from people for his contribution of late, becoming the new Stephen Hughes, Graham Ricks, only turns up when we're 5-0 up already and does something flashy. Is any of this criticism deserved, justified? I mean, should he have been given a spanking by Mertesacker at the end of the game?
I'm a big fan of Ozil's. I think I liked what Mertesacker did, because I thought that really showed command and leadership as a captain, and he, it was great PR. I don't suggest he did it for PR, but I was really pleased with Mertesacker. And Ozil, I say, is it just a cop-out, tweeted about it later. But I'm on the third round of questions, and I haven't gone back to the 1970s, so I'm feeling a bit twitchy at this moment. I was hoping you would ask me about Wilshere, and the most depressing thing on that for me was, as an Englishman, what's this one finger? What's wrong with flicking the V's?
Exactly.
It's no coaching, obviously, but whereas management people
Very
are.
Very good point.
Because I remember FA Cup, baseball ground, 1972, Charlie George getting stick for his long hair out there, scored the second goal for Arsenal, all the way across to the pop side at Derby.
Do you reckon Wilshere was going like, totally awesome dude, as he instead of, fuck off you mate bastards, which would have been more appropriate.
Spin on that, your mother. No, it should have just been double, you know, then we'd all forgiven him,
I mean, what else is Steve Bould's role within the team if it's not putting out the and canes and teaching him
it
stuff?
It would have been a lot harder for Match of the Day to pixelate as well. That one, or was it Sky pixelated?
It was
one
a fat finger. Little finger as well, wasn't it? A little sausage on the end of it.
Sky pixelation department a bit more work to do.
I think he's very good in Lord of the Rings, in fairness, him and Gollum looking after that rim, but there we go. Mike, I think that something that's come out from what Mark's just said was that Mertesacker's there in a heartbeat. I think that the fact that Arteta is, well, he is what he is. I've got opinions on Arteta, I'll keep them myself, and Vermaelen's not in the team. Am I correct in saying that Per Mertesacker essentially is our captain and should be made our captain?
No, but name, isn't he? I mean, you know, from Mark's point, I thought it was great. And, you know, yes, I agree with Basti to an extent that, you'd rather wash your dirty washing out in private rather than out in public, but actually it sends out a good message to the fans, doesn't it, and maybe even to the rest of the players, you know, don't mess with me. I may not be the captain, but I've got the armband on today, and I'll tell you what I think. And he's done that a few times. He does show his frustration at the end of games sometimes. I'd give him the captaincy. I think he's leading by example. We know he's not the quickest, and he's at the back, and he's had a lot of criticism for that, but he's so organised. He's German, you know.
It was a bit Tony Adams.
Until he said he was German, he was Tony Adams.
It was a bit Tony Adams. It reminded me of Tony Adams, sort of with his fist in a, you know, fist shaking his fist at the defence.
Come on!
Like, and look, passion. He certainly has passion.
He's got it.
And so that's what it showed, that he had passion. So in that sense, it was a good thing. But it's still a bit of dirty laundry in public, I think. For someone like Ozil as well, who's, you know, let's face it, Ozil's the sort of player who, he might not look like he does an awful lot a lot of the time. You could label him a bit lazy even, or a bit of a stroller, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Every now and again, but the thing is that he does put in a peach of a pass, and that's a game changer, and he can do that. And I did think, even though I didn't think he had a good game against City, I thought at any point he could do something, and then he did, you know, made a goal just out of nothing. And Walcott's finish, well, I thought at first he'd fluffed it completely, it was going wide, and there it was in the back of the net. So,
I think the Cardiff game, I was fortunate enough to be down at Cardiff for that, and he was invisible, but he still made. Yeah, I mean, the pass for Flamini's goal, I was lucky. I was in the main stand. It wasn't with the away fans. I was with the main stand. You just saw it, right? And it was like Freddie through the eye of the needle, and Flamini just didn't have to break side and smashed into that net. And you could see, when I saw the replay afterwards, Baldy must have been like straight line, because he saw he was up out of his seat straight away, you know, and you saw him go, what a pass! And it was like, oh. And I think that's it. That's what it gives us.
It's got an element of genius.
The quality that he provides. He may not do it as often as we'd like, but the quality is there.
I think he'll do it more with time as well. Look, he's still. How long have we had Ozil? Not, you know,
three, four months. Yeah.
Well, exactly. So, and I remember, how long did Dennis take to start flying great guns? I think it was 6 months or something before he that Southampton game where he scored.
I think Ozil doesn't have to play with Glenn Helder, though, does he?
Well, that Glenn Helder. Oh dear.
But the thing with Ozil as well is, it's like, now if Walcott's fit and stays fit, he's the sort of player that we can really use those passes, threaded through with Walcott's pace. They could be a good
partnership. Well, he doesn't have to play with Glenn Helder, but I mentioned it before the podcast, and it's something that's starting to annoy me a little bit, is Giroud's tendency to sort of run with his head behind his feet as his feet run forward, and he's not. He doesn't seem like the most quick-witted of people sometimes. In fact, sometimes I think Mertesacker's probably a bit sharper these days than Giroud. I don't know. You know, to be fair, Giroud seems to score goals when, as you know, he's very good with his back to goal. He's very good at passing it about. He's very good at interchanging with the rest of the team. My jury's out on whether he's really the out-and-out goal scorer that we need. When we're, don't forget, we're playing with one man up front a lot. Of course, you know, and so when Ramsey and the rest of the midfield don't chip in, he's not putting them in the back of the net.
Well, this is probably the $64,000 question. I mean, this is a man, Giroud, last year was criticised by everyone. I mean, his first game counted as a sub for Podolski, open goal against Sunderland, you know, shins it wide. And that pretty much summed up for the rest of the season. But it took him a year to settle down, and we're hoping that whilst Ozil has a decent first season, next year he's going to be a world beater. I think Giroud's had a much better year so far this year, but let's face it, we do play 4-2-3-1. He's the only one we've got. Yaya Sanogo, as per the last four podcasts, if you are listening, please let us know you're alive. We're worrying an awful lot. Yaya's a no-go, if you will. Mark, am I correct in saying that Olivier Giroud's run out of steam already? Bearing in mind, 75 minutes, getting hammered by Manchester City, we take him off and we bring on Nicholas Bentner?
I think what I'm saying is the tactics. I mean, before we'd have played a game with him up there, feeding off, and there'd have been a guy feeding off him, maybe your poacher. But I think since we bought our fox in the box, Francis Jeffers, I think we're not looking for one of those again. So I think the team, and it has worked so many times, Giroud leads the line, he brings defenders out, and Ramsey popped in that hole behind. Ozil's done it a number of occasions. Walcott gets back scoring. I think really, if you look to the goal scorers, would you want to be reliant like Liverpool? 17 goals in, what is it? How many games? 11 games? You've got Suarez. You wouldn't want to be that reliant on one guy. I think he brings other players in. And if, you know, Podolski comes up, starts popping a few in, I think it'd be good for the team. I think he's a great team player. I think tiredness, I think that they had to play, the French had to play those two tough games, the playoff matches for the World Cup. I know Cassioni got sent off, missed the second one. But I think that mentally, I don't know, how's that, if they'd gone out of the World Cup there, I think they could have been a bit of the sulks. But is anyone going to be saving anything up for Brazil end of this season? I don't know. It's I'm not sure about that one, but I think I'd like to see him batter Chelsea. Like they haven't got Drogba to batter us. I'd like to see him, the boot on the other foot Monday night, and us knocking Chelsea defenders around that box and people popping up in the spaces. And I think he's capable of doing that.
Call me naive, but I would really have liked to see Walcott and Ozil link up. With someone with the pace of Walcott and someone with the accuracy of Ozil, right, they could take out any back four by just, you know, the over-the-top perfect ball onto a running Walcott. I mean, that's something that Giroud can't do. He can't run after a ball. And his first touch, it bounces off his shin, doesn't it? So Walcott has learned to control the ball and run with it now. The shooting is still... and the shooting was pretty good on Saturday as well. So maybe we should just give Walcott a chance to... You know, have a little run up front.
Why not?
Would you be reliant on big goal kicks from Chesney being flicked on by 5'3" makes Arshavin look like a giant Walcott?
No, I think that's probably not. Wouldn't be a good idea. But
no, he's running onto it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you're right. I think we've underutilised Walcott's pace, Daniels. We overplayed the ball, and actually the quick ball over the top. Theo is still, his main threat is pace.
Yeah.
You know, and he's finishing, he's improving, and, you know, this game's definitely come on. But there are sides that play such a high back line.
Mm.
We've got the players that can pick the pass, and we've got Walcott who can exploit it. Do it.
Well, whilst it's come up to Christmas, and we're all shutting the doors for different reasons, a week or so after that, the transfer window opens. You see.
Oh, wow. The doors, we're all looking at each other. What does he mean by shutting the doors?
Exactly. I've been opening them on my, I think, Kelly.
Absolutely. Well, you're having chocolate. Mark, would you prefer a centre forward when it gets to the 1st of January? Or can you rely on Podolski?
I would know who this centre forward is. I mean, people are going to just batter him around and say, have you seen this guy? And it could be like Soldado. Ooh, Valencia. I've seen the goals he's got in the league. Yeah, we'll have a bit of that, please. And then you go, ah. So I don't know if you're going to hit me with a few names. I still think we want that guy to get the ball in the middle of the park and run at people and power on them. But let's see, where I suppose really the one player is not European Cup tied is Luis Suarez. I think I'll have if you're offering him, I think I'll take him, please. Yeah,
just sell
some vouchers will do.
sell the Emirates Stadium and get Suarez. That's what I reckon. Because the bottom line is, if we had Suarez, we'd win the league.
Mm.
End of.
I think that's about right. I mean, let's face it, Mike. I mean, would we have been better upping the bid we put in for Luis Suarez last summer, even if that would have forfeited Ozil?
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Such it, always, always.
I mean, I put on Twitter at the time, I probably might have even said it on the podcast, that Suarez, for me, I didn't want in the summer. Right now, I think I'm looking pretty stupid.
Your words, Mike.
That dress you're wearing, Mike. Come on.
I mean, he's on fire at the moment, isn't he? And you do look and say, I would have just paid them the 50 million, we'd be 10 points clear at the top by now and probably, you know, be able to rest him for the next three games and Giroud could play them all. But, yeah, you know, that's not going to happen now. There's no way Liverpool are going to let him go for anything less than probably the 100 million that Real Madrid will have to stump up for him. Mm-hmm. Next summer. Other players that we could have, don't know. There isn't anyone that really catches the eye that you feel would come in and do a good job straight away. You know, I like the look of Benteke at Villa last season, but he's gone off the boil horribly in the last couple of months. Michu, even he's, you know, he's not really pulling up any trees now, so they're the sort of
Bar, I used to really like Bar at Newcastle, and since he's been at Chelsea, it's sort of,
that's just because he's at Chelsea, really.
Probably, yeah, well, yeah. Say no more.
He's been so poor this season, he's had a D put on the end of his surname.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone?
No.
Denver Bad?
Is that your tumbleweed there?
It's, oh. It's a tough crowd here today, it really is. Bloody hell. Anyhow, so anyway, we've lost 6-3 to Manchester City. Things aren't going brilliantly at the moment. It's not been a great week. Having said that, in good news, you get to pay an extra 3% next year on your season ticket. Also, the manager who's in charge of that football team, he gets another 3 or 4 years. That's something justifiable and celebratory, isn't it, Mark?
Well, I've said on the previous podcast, I'm a freeloading photographer, getting on my pass. And, you know, I think anyone who's paying the money, their opinion's worth a lot more than mine. Yeah, I think it is tough. It really is tough with playing top money anyway. I don't think you do. You're not going to pay performance-related. And I see a lot of tweets about people saying, enough's enough, let's not go to Man City, let's not go here. And they know that there's probably some corporate institutional turn around and say, we'll have four of those tickets and we'll pop along when things are, you know, we feel like it. So that's the, if they can get it, it's all market forces. And I was probably paying pounds, shillings and pence last time I paid. No, it wasn't much more than that. But when I wasn't, you know, I occasionally would enjoy going to Highbury and put 6-7 quid down and stand on the clock end. But now, ever since I've been in the Emirates, as a, you know, a photographer, I work there every week, but I've never paid any money to go in and see a game. And I'm kind of waiting till they bring standing back, I think, till I do it. And I really do. I really sympathise for anyone who's been, you know, just seen the hike. And there'll be disgruntlement and everything, and people say, well, you know, bye-bye. There's loads of Japanese tourists who come along, they'll see watch Arsenal in the afternoon and Cats in the evening, or ladies, you know.
Well, Mike, this time last week, I bumped into you on the Monday night at the Emirates, having Christmas drinks for members of different supporters clubs like the AISA, Red Action, the AST, and Ivan Gazidis was there. Just to check, Kev, was it Chips Keswick or Lord Harris? Just so I know.
It was Chips,
right, okay. I was just checking, that's all. But, you know, you've got the people who run the club there thanking us for our custom, our money, but our support, that kind of thing. That happens on the Monday, give us a free glass of watered-down red wine, and then 4 days later tell us they're going to screw us for our money. That timing, so bad it wouldn't get an England cricket team, would it?
I don't know, it probably would at the minute. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the timing is suspicious, to say the least. I'd like to know the last time we announced next year's season ticket prices in December, because I don't think that's ever happen. Normally they're still debating the point up until, well, probably up until the time when we clinch fourth place. Yeah, the fact it followed so soon after that, those drinks, and that we are sitting top, proudly top of the league.
Well, make hay while the sun shines is what they're
thinking. It kind of reminds me of the announcement of the bond scheme. You know, we just won the league, and if you want to come and see us next season, you're going to have to pay for a bond, sort of thing. It's probably not quite that bad, but call me cynical.
I've taken the stance that I was a season ticket holder most of my life at Highbury, and then for a small period of time at the Emirates until I just couldn't afford it. And to be honest with you, I just had to sort of prioritise bills and things.
Shocking.
But and now I sort of nibble at crumbs when Kev can get me a ticket. I'm very much a grade C-er these days. You know, yeah. I'll go to grade C games at home, and I'm a horrible, the worst. I used to look down at fans like me who turned up occasionally,
right, Basti, no one's going to look down at you.
But what can you do? Well, that's wrong, unless I'm lying.
Grade C, are we going to the Tottenham Cup match then?
The Tottenham what? The Cup match?
Well, this is the interesting thing about the Spurs game. I found out from Kev just before we started that we're playing Spurs at home 3 weeks after the draw's made, that kind of thing, in an FA Cup match when we always play our reserves. That's going to be a grade A game.
Oh,
some people are going to be paying £100 plus to see 90 minutes of a 0-0 draw. Mike, that deserved? Stupid question, silly answer?
Do we even give an answer to that? Yeah, I mean, I think we were debating whether it was going to be grade B or grade C. So it's good to bring it in as a grade A. It's just a joke. But again, what do you expect? They know there's going to be a demand for the tickets.
Never manager, do they?
Oh, they might.
Who's going to be?
We'll come back to that, I'm sure.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
It's ludicrous that it's a grade A game. About the only good thing that's happened there is we've only given Spurs the minimum number of tickets, and we've given them 5,100 or something instead of the 9,000 they wanted.
I'm technically entitled to under English football laws, but even so, fuck them.
I remember they did the same to us once. I remember we gave end, right? We gave them the clock end. And then we got some, just a normal little corner. I can't remember which, it was a cup tie years ago.
The worst thing is, they make you go all the way up to Seven Sisters and be surrounded by animals. It's foul. I can't stand it. But, Mark, let's put the cards on the table. If they're going to make our FA Cup matches, Grade A matches, charge people through the noses for their ticket, for the first time in God knows how long, should we try and win the FA Cup for a change? Throw our first team out and say, fuck it, 6 games, let's win a trophy.
Well, I was thinking, I'm looking ahead, the fixtures already. Not that I'm surprised myself sometimes. I didn't think I was, but we've got Cardiff at home on the Wednesday, Tottenham away to Man United. So, I don't know. I think that's good for us. You know, just cue Cardiff shock win at the end.
You say that one of those a mid-table shit game.
I think the Cup, it'd be fantastic. I think they should. I mean, I think last season, and you guys probably on these podcasts in the Gooner probably hammer the team, but the Blackburn Cup match, when you were talking about the triple substitution, brought back memories to me of the triple substitution against Blackburn Rovers in the Cup. And that moment was the low point of many a season for me. I'm looking at Chelsea, Man City, saying you can't compete financially with them. You can't. That way lays Portsmouth or Rangers. We're sitting there, we're doing very well, but that the Cup, no excuse whatsoever for that. And that would be, how's it going to be juggled? So that's right. Imagine, as you said, 0-0 against Tottenham, back over there for the replay. We don't like it, we've got a big league game. Then you advance, you're in Champions League, you've got probably Man United away in the Cup between two Bayern Munich ties. And you know it's going to go, you know it's going to be sacrificed straight away.
What do you reckon, Basti? If we're playing against Spurs and their caretaker manager, whoever that's going to be, should we just put our first team out, get 4-0 up at half time, empty that end of the ground, and then have a training session?
That sounds like a splendid idea. I think we should.
It'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
I like the way you sold. You really sold that one to me. I mean, why not? Why not just go and take them out? Look, the Champions League is looking a tad dodgy to me at the moment. We have beaten Bayern Munich before, but I wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket, let's put it that way. I think we really blew that against Napoli. Still, I'm saying this, I'm tempting fate so that we not buy it out, but we are top of the league. and we're 2 points clear. Now, if we get a good result against Chelsea, we've really got, that has got to be the basket we're throwing our eggs into. It's the most important competition still for me. Of course, we've never won the Champions League. I'd love to win it. I went to Paris, you know what I mean? Mm. That one's got to be dealt with one day. But right now, the Premier League is on, and we've just got to hammer at that one. And I think with, you know, the FA Cup, I'm a romantic, I love the FA Cup. And in fact, when I've once had the pleasure of holding the FA Cup, and I felt the hair stand on the back of my neck, and I wanted to cry, you know, and I couldn't stop kissing the thing, you know. But I think we really, if we're going to prioritise, you know, not spread ourselves too thin. Yeah, it's the question, do we go out firing on all fronts, knacker ourselves out, and win nothing again? You know, which is what's happened over the last few years. So need a trophy.
Sorry, I know it might sound, but I'm just thinking, bizarrely, Arsenal won the cup in 93. Wasn't it awful? The Andy Lineker winner, that was the George Graham football.
Oh,
shocking.
Loved it.
Yeah, it was a shocking, shocking performance. But then we won the cup. The next two times we won it, 98, 2002, we also won the league. So why are we saying that one and that one? Isn't that just showing to Wenger that success breeds success and you get on that run? Mm. So it's not as if to say, put a rubbish team out there and win it. We actually won it. Yeah. The next two times we won it in, you know, in doubles.
Absolutely.
So why not?
You've just got to play the best team that you have available and fit for the next game you have in any competition.
I mean, Wenger always comes out, doesn't he, and says, I put out a team that I felt was capable of winning it. And it's like, well, just put out your bloody best team. And as Mark says, you know, confidence builds. And we've seen that, I think, already this season. You know, we get on a bit of a run, few results, and you can see the team just playing with so much more confidence. You know, and OK, we've taken a bit of a hit, so we've got to bounce back. But if we were to beat Chelsea and then we've got West Ham, Cardiff... Yeah. If we then go and beat Spurs as well, you know, suddenly that run's developing again, and one thing leads to another.
That was the bad thing about Napoli, is it was needless to lose that game, and suddenly we remembered how to lose, which is not what we really want to be doing. And you know, you've got to, okay, you know, drawing there would have been a win. Drawing at Everton was at home is bad because drawing at home is bad, but you know, Everton are actually an exceptional side at the moment, so. But losing two in a row now, I mean, we got to find our winning ways again.
We have lost two in a row, but having said that, I mean, when we played Napoli at home, we beat them 2-0. That was a proper old-fashioned Invincibles era Arsenal, you know, in the sense we came out, we were running at 1,000 miles an hour, we got two brilliant goals, and then turned around the opposition and said, we're just going to have a quiet training session now. And they came at us, couldn't get through. That was brilliant. And whilst you get people coming out saying Arsenal are these flat-track bullies, we have beaten Napoli, we've beaten Liverpool, we've beaten Spurs, we've beaten Borussia Dortmund. Calling us flat-track bullets, that's stupid, really, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, we have beaten some decent sides and we play some good football. Mm. And, you know, the way we've been playing this season, there's definite change of tact of way we've been approaching games. We're now more prepared to let the other team have the ball and let them come onto us and then hit them more on the break. And we've played a lot faster going forwards than we've had done for a couple of years. And that's just great to see. I mean, it does, as you say, sort of kind of reminds us here of the Invincibles. And, you know, don't get me wrong, listeners, I'm not comparing this team to the Invincibles in the slightest, but, you know, there's one or two little memories and little
more direct,
tweaks there.
I think,
it's a good way of putting it, actually, Mark. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, we've seen, you know, wins against teams like Southampton, Cardiff and Hull since the last recording. The best thing about that is we haven't conceded a goal in those games. I mean, as we were talking about the Napoli game, we get our two special goals and say, just come at us, you're not going to get past it. And we're incredibly rigid, the defensive 6-7 people, that kind of thing. I mean, do you think we could have that Tony Adams theory that came out a few years ago, Mark, whereby as long as you beat all the teams from 11th to 20th home and away, you don't have to worry about the other games? So we can do what Man United used to.
Sure.
Yeah.
There was this, you know, one season where United won the mini league, got how many teams you want to put in that mini league. They got 12 points out of 12. They said it's all about this. Next year, a few more teams involved, the 18 points. United got 5 out of them, but smashed Wigan home away, Blackburn Rovers. So, you know, it's just tossing up the points. But I think the goals that we have conceded, I mentioned before, is in I forget the guy's name, the Everton substitute from Barcelona.
Oh,
what a goal. I mean, really. Gibbs thought, I know where you're going, bang, and it's through Szczęsny, and he's been unstoppable lately. It was just, hang on, can I see that again? It was something special, and I was about to tweet, you know, something about Higain, just the turn and stuck that in that bottom corner. That was straight out the top drawer. That hasn't happened to Merseth all season in the Premier League, and it was just something else. The second goal was a big mess when everyone was panicking, but the two goals there that kind of, you know, turned those matches were really, you've got to turn around at some point and say, how do you defend against that one?
Yeah.
So there is some calm. I don't know what it is with Mertesacker. I don't know if I can confess this on national radio, where are we? But I was actually photographing the game, the England-Germany game, and I was actually celebrating with Mertesacker when he scored his goal. I'm thinking, whoops, I do like that green kit. It reminds me of Gerd Müller when they Müller this in the 70s. But I don't know, I just seem to like this guy. He criticising something about Giroud's running. I actually like the guy. I know what he's capable of. I know where his limits are. But I think I like the guy. He's given it a lot for Arsenal. He's given us another dimension. Mertesacker the same. He's not Franz Beckenbauer at the back, but he's, you know, I think when we played Tottenham, we were all over the place, weren't we? I think this is the last podcast I did. We were, you know, in a bad place. They come at us for the last 20 minutes and everything went on Mertesacker's head. Was that bad direction or good positioning by him? He was just there.
This is it. I think you're right. I think positionally, he's the best defender we've had for a few years now, a good few years. And, you know, but I think the first year people were going, oh, you know, he's lucky, he's just going to him. But you're right, you know, it can't be luck time after time after time. He's in the right place at the right time too often for that to be pure luck. And I think, I don't know whether it's the social media world or whether it's just the modern society, every goal we've conceded, somebody has to be blamed.
And
I just think that's wrong. I think sometimes you do just have to hold up your hands, like the Everton kid, and say, he shifted that and he didn't half hit it. Was part, you know, it rocketed him. I don't care who you were, I don't think anyone was stopping that. And there have been, we have come unstuck with that a few times, not just this season either. No. I mean, we always seem to be
Tottenham play up against a player who gets one goal all his life.
Danny Rose.
There's always a long range shot that goes in.
Danny Rose, he was on loan at Sunderland last year. Every time I turned on the telly and Sunderland were on, they'd go, it's Danny Rose, he's only scored one goal, you know, but what a crack.
One of the positives, I was just sort of daydreaming as you're all nattering away there. One of the positives of the last 3 weeks or couple of weeks is that when we lost to Napoli, and we drew with it, dropped points against Everton. You know, that day against Everton, everyone else lost, which was great. Mm-hmm. We actually ended up better off against
Gained a point.
Gained a point. And then Napoli, okay, right, we're still qualified. And we did then go to Man City and score 3 goals, which no one else has done. So let's keep this glass half full, Gunners, right? And let's get a result against Chelsea. Yeah. And that's all I've got to share on the matter.
Well, you say that. You've got a glass half full of Erdinger, one of Bavaria's finest beers. Will it still be a glass half full?
That's an alcohol-free beer if my AA sponsor's listening.
That's very good for sure.
Yeah, I should have said that in German.
Well, Bayern Munich, they're in Germany, and they're our opposition in the last 16 of the Champions League as per last season. Having gained victories in both of our visits to German clubs in 2013, Basti, should we be optimistic of the chance of progress?
Well, being a little bit German myself, I can report that on national German television every Saturday, when they have Sportschau, which they do, they've almost got like Arsenal Corner now. It's great. And I was going over there visiting my mum recently, and they had this guy with an Arsenal kit on, a 70s Arsenal kit, presenting a television show. So Germany's gone Arsenal mad because of Özil and Mertesacker and Podolski, obviously. Well, Bayern are, well, I don't have to tell anyone, Bayern are a scarily good side. But we, you know, maybe third time lucky. They've knocked us out twice, haven't they, of the Champions League, as far as I know. They did. I was at the Bayern-Arsenal game when we lost 1-0 but still qualified years ago. But then that aside, they're doable, right? We've proved that. We've gone there. We've beaten them. And so they are doable, and I think as much as we ballsed up against Napoli and thought, oh no, we're going to have to play a big team, those big teams are thinking the last thing we want is Arsenal. So let's use that and show a bit of mental strength and go out there and give the Blighters a damn good hiding.
What do you think, Mark? Should we be more optimistic than if we were playing Barcelona or Real Madrid?
Let's just take it on form. Bayern's last two home games against English opposition, ended up in defeats, clutching at straws here. No, that's what I don't want to do. I don't want to kind of throw it away on the home leg and go out there in a glorious away victory to say, look at us, we won in Munich again. Like Norwich City, we're up there with them. Sorry, going back to the only for the 90s now, Jerry Goss, I'm remembering it well. But no, I think that Bayern is as tough a test as you get. Barcelona without Messi on the same side. I think I'd fancy picking a few holes in Real Madrid's defensive capabilities and saying, we'll keep Bale quiet, we know all about him. But Bayern is just, they're not relying on one guy to do it on the night. Nope. Phenomenal squad. And, you know, I say, I just don't hope we put in a superhuman effort, put everything into that game, lose with some credibility, and then go, oh, by the way, we lost to Walsall in the FA Cup, and we're now 7 points behind Man City.
I think what we've got to do as well is turn the Emirates into whatever it's called, Ashburton Grove, into a fortress, like we did that night against Barcelona, where we just, the whole, everyone went for it, like, you know, players and supporters, and the club have to invest a little bit of imagination into how we can really turn it into a daunting prospect that night at home. Because if we can beat them at home, then we can also we can do them out there.
It's a great point. It's not putting a plastic flag on every corporate guy turns up to seat. It's about saying, you know what, let's leverage a bit of this for some. They're not going to do it though, are they?
If I wish they'd just say to everyone, look, on your feet and stand throughout the whole game. If everyone stood throughout the whole game against Bayern Munich at home, any singing teacher will tell you, you'll project your voice more when you're standing up. You're going to sing more when you're standing up.
Yeah.
You're not going to slouch and go, oh, I'm just watching the match with your arms folded. You're going to get up there and you're the 12th man. And that's what we need. We'll need a 12th man.
It might be another topic, but maybe just have a quarter of the normal number of stewards. That could do, couldn't it? I think that would...
just have no stewards at all. Well, exactly, beat the shit out of them.
Mike, to finish yourself. Bayern Munich in the Champions League. After that, I just want to. It's like 300. I just want to.
This is charge! Fucking charge!
Basti's views do not make sense.
we can play skins against shirts, right? And all just go charge.
Send us out in a cape and a pair of tight pants. What do you reckon, Mike?
Jumpers for gold.
It sounds good, yeah. No, I think that bouncer work. It would scare them off if nothing else. I agree with everything the guys have said. You know, so the home leg is all important this year. Don't. Give them the advantage and let them relax in the second leg. Whether you think they did that last year or not, I don't know, but there were plenty of people that discredit our 2-0 win out there saying, oh, well, it was a bit worthless. Okay, maybe it was, but it was still great.
I agree. For me, Wenger watches that game 246 times. We win both games 2-0 and we'll go on and win the Champions League. It's easy like that, right?
I think so. Well, another thing, don't leave the stadium until the final. You know, if we're 1-0 down against Bayern or 2-1 down or something, you know, if we stay, how many times at Highbury have we had that, you know, suck the ball into the back of the net because the whole stadium was just right on it, you know?
Oh, gotcha.
Bit of come on, you
right. So no stewards and padlock the gates as well.
Padlock the gates.
Yeah. Fuck the Human Rights Act. Keep the animals in there. That'll be fine.
Yeah, it looks a bit like. Oh, I won't go into it, actually.
Right,
it was
something
to do with a film. I'm not going there.
And that, though, Mark, the Gooner tweeted to ask any questions for you with a view to answer on tonight's podcast. And we've had a few tasters coming through. So looking at the ones in front of me, Mr. Joe Gagliardi asked us, have you ever had any confrontations with players or managers over your photos or attempted photos?
Right, well, I'll give you an example, one of each. They are no surprise, going back to the 70s. There was a straightforward, used to have a press day, a photo call, and 1979 at Crystal Palace, I didn't have a lens wide enough to get all the permed hair in, and Mike Flanagan was a great player. He was, I think that he teamed up with Clive Allen when he left the Arsenal, and I think they called him Allen and Flanagan, wasn't it, or something like that. They teamed up together, and 90 Minutes, which I thought was a great mag, did a retro page, and they wanted all amusing pictures, and Mike Flanagan, this picture with his perm, you could hardly see his face, adorned the page, and he called up the magazine and said, oh, I'd like a copy of that, and he got my phone number. He said, what are you doing? You're taking the piss, aren't you, hon? Publishing that picture of me, you make me look the right mug now with all my mates. I said, I wasn't your barber, Mike. You know, I did not set your hair on a permanent wave. And he got a bit itchy about it. But my running with a manager was, I worked for an agency in the 70s, and we used to shoot Ipswich Town's programme. And the boss said to me, just go down to Portman Road Friday morning ahead of a cup tie against Liverpool. It's fine. I've sorted it. You can go do training. I walked in there and there were people queuing up for tickets. And, you know, a busy day. And Bobby Robson comes through and I started following him. He said, where are you going? He said, on the training pitch. What are you talking about? Oh, it's been sorted. He said, not with me, it hasn't. And he starts tearing me off a strip. Who do you think you are? Da, da, da. And he's looked around. He's just about to get me in a headlock and all these people are watching. So he takes me into his office and he pushes me in there. And on his office wall was this picture which I had taken of Trevor Marks, Weimark scoring a goal. And he was saying to me, you think you're a photographer? That's bloody photography. So you know nothing about that. And I thought, is this the point I tell him that I took it? I thought, no, he won't believe me, he'll kill me. So it came out the door after this telling off, like the headmaster's. I turned left back to the car park. He grabs me, where are you going? Training pictures out there. Get out and do your job. Mr. Schizo, it was nice, a good guy. And I took a few shots of him running, and he came towards me. I was ready to go. And he said, got anything you want, son? Just give us a call next time. I mean, a day with Bobby. I mean, everyone's got the story of Bobby Robson, but it was just, I was about 18 years old, scared the life out of me. But these people's faces, as he was, you know, doing a Basil 40 on me, he dragged me to the office. And I thought, great, it's my picture up there. But I didn't. People said, did you tell him? I think it would have gone wrong. I think I judged it right there. But it was a great thing. I don't think we have the access now. I couldn't say, oh, I was there with Mourinho and these things. It's all stage managed. Anything was nearly getting out of control. The press officer would be on you. But no.
Well, in or out of a ground or a game, before, during or after, a question for you and for Wenger, actually, from Gunnar Zlatan. Any sightings of Mesut Ozil in the last month? Or?
Well, I think we touched on it earlier. I think Mike said about the performance in Cardiff when I went down there just to get some shots of Ozil on a telephoto lens on the ball and didn't have much success. He was knocking it back and he was trying to find space, keeping possession. There was one opportunity came. He was put away on the left with a big 50-50. I thought, here we go, big chap. He jumped out of the tackle. So then I got him in my sights, he looked up, ping, I thought, oh, that's a nice little sequence, and I didn't have time to change lenses, he's picked out Aaron Ramsey, bang, 1-0, I've missed the goal picture. So ditto, second half, there I was, da-da-da-da-da, and he's picked out Flamini for the second goal. I mean, to put the ball on a spot where Flamini cannot miss, that is, you know, nothing against Flamini, but how many times is he get, you know, the ball going to drop there? And I just thought, an off day for Ozil, maybe the Sunday People game 6 out of 10, but when what I saw, and I don't pretend to see the whole game like a fan, I'm not paying to get in, but what I saw through my lens and the end results were just, you know, I think there's more to come from that guy. So yes, I have seen him, Mr. Zlatan.
I was just a bit worried to hear, is the Sunday People still going? I didn't think there was a paper called the Sunday People anymore.
I thought I was being racy. I was going to say the
Sunday People.
Yeah.
Is it still going?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that around.
They probably don't sell to me up in Hampstead.
I thought it was up there with Today and the European.
Oh, the European.
You got news of the world, of course. Yeah, right.
Okay, well, gents, we're just winding up. But some light relief, literally before we finish in the last 2 minutes. That's been provided by our neighbours up the road and Tottenham's 5-0 thrashing at home to Liverpool and the subsequent dismissal of Andre Villas-Boas. Where'd it all go wrong? Anyone? Or does anyone actually give a flying fuck?
I think it's terribly disappointing that they've got rid of him so soon. He was doing a great job there, I thought, and was giving us much amusement. And,
I really liked it.
Yeah,
I got a text.
Christian Gross is yesterday. Available, apparently.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Joel's available as well.
Yeah.
I got a text from Glenn a Tottenham Hodden. Fan before the kickoff yesterday, before the Tottenham match, going on about, so you're not giving it the 6 goals away to City joke anymore, yeah, kind of thing, right? And I just came back with, yeah, we'll just wait till Suarez puts 7 past you today. So I got it 2 wrong, but to be honest with you, and it wasn't all Suarez, obviously, but oh, that was lovely.
Right, almost
so lovely.
I would love it.
Sorry, the Liverpool fans had seen we won 5-0 at the Lane because it was this time of year, wasn't it?
It was, right? 23rd of December 1978.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, was that the 5-0?
Look at that.
Look at that. Oh, can I just quickly share my story
about
that game?
Please, there's always time. Years.
Well, that's when I realised that White Hart Lane was not somewhere I should go because I went to that game. And just before the kickoff, all the Arsenal fans started doing the wanker salute, as it was known then, all the Tottenham fans. And I was standing at the back and I couldn't get under the bar to stand up inside at the back. And so I was doing my little wanker salute, and the next thing I know, I'm in a half Nelson, and I was thrown out, and it was a long, long... I was going, please, no, no, it's all right, copper. And he chucked me, he was a Tottenham copper, he just chucked me out. He loved it, and shut the door behind me, and I was out in the street, and missed the kickoff, and went home, and when I watched it at home on Match of the Day, it was... first time I saw that goal, it was with John Motson, unfortunately, as opposed to with...
Couldn't you pay to get back in those days?
Oh, I didn't have any money. It was about, how old was I? What year was it? Okay. I was 14. I'd run out of money. That was it. I had enough to get in, and that was it.
Thank you, Basti. It's almost time to wrap up, unfortunately. But before we do, a few words about the current issue of the Gooner from our editor, Mr. Kevin Witcher.
Yes, indeed. The issue currently on sale will be on sale outside the games against Chelsea, Cardiff and the FA Cup tie against Spurs. And it's our annual issue with the free calendar. So the theme this season is wow signings. So 12 players that got the fans excited when news was announced. In contrast, in the issue itself, we've asked contributors to tell us about signings that made them groan. And there is one particular player who is in both the calendar as a wow signing and a groan signing. So you want to find out who that is, buy the issue. Other pieces inside include a great story about getting a ticket for the Champions League final in Paris in 2006, a tribute piece to Ian Wright, and the latest in our Arsenal Sutra series, this issue's position being the Walcott. Want to find out what that's about, please buy £2.50. Please support the Gooner to keep us going. We need you to help us by buying copies from our sellers now in very fetching red tops on match day. Okay.
If there's even the most remote chance of getting a picture of Colin Pates on my bedroom wall, I'll be incredibly happy. Finally, the usual reminder that if you want to email us about anything related to the podcast, our address is goonerpodcast@gmail.com. And with that, it's goodbye from Mark.
Goodbye.
From Mike.
Farewell.
And the Don.
Auf Wiedersehen.
We'll be back at the end of January with our next podcast. And until then, this is your host, David Udo, saying thanks for listening.
La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good friends and jolly good company, way!